Chico creates, and I hope I'm going to be able to play that now.
Welcome to the Chico Creates podcast, where we interview local artists, musicians, and makers here in Chico, California. I'm your host, Kira Barsotti, and with me today is Dolores Mitchell. Dolores received a BA in studio art and a PhD in art history from UCLA in 1970 and taught Renaissance to 20th century art history at Chico State for 30 years. She co-founded Chico's Avenue 9 Gallery, where she exhibited her art until the gallery closed in 2015. Dolores now focuses her energies on painting, and that's what we'll be talking about today. Welcome, Dolores.
Thank you.
Yeah, super glad to have you. So tell us a little bit about yourself beyond the bio.
Oh, all right. Let's see. Well, I was born in Chicago.
Okay.
And as a child was introduced to the Chicago Art Institute, they had classes for kids, free classes for kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
Your teacher had to recommend you. And my teacher liked the windows that I painted with snowflakes for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
That's what
yeah.
I got to do.
Very cool.
Mm.
I love that. And so how did you end up in Chico then?
Well, when I got my PhD, I was looking for a job. And mm-hmm. I was in England continuing some research. And so I sent out letters to absolutely every institution in California and a couple in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I got three replies back, including mm-hmm. one from Chico. So I looked up Chico on a map. It was an old map in the London Library. And it looked like it was in an Indian reservation.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, that would be interesting.
Uh-huh.
I agreed to come to Chico, and I was hired sight unseen, which would never happen today.
Yeah.
But it was during a time when art historians were actually scarce.
And right, wanted, right, sought after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sought mm-hmm. after.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like you loved California from your time at UCLA. And that's what prompted you to want to come back here.
To California?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I love California. I think it's the greatest state of all the states. It has everything.
Well, it absolutely does.
From a painter's viewpoint, it's got mountains and deserts and ocean and, you know, everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Marvelous architecture, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no worries. So what's keeping you here then in Chico?
You know, when I first came to Chico, I was not used to a small town.
Mm-hmm.
I'd lived in Chicago, in Southern California, in London,
mm-hmm.
and I just never thought that I would settle in a small town. It just didn't seem to have the cultural resources.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you now, it's just right for me.
Yeah.
You can get into a car and in 10 minutes, you're anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Plus, there's so many opportunities as long as you don't ask for money to them.
Yeah.
So I have done radio interviews with Weekend Showcase for 4 years at NSPR.
Awesome.
I was involved in Avenue 9 Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And in arranging exhibits, and we had paint out, so it's very exciting to do that. And I have a emailed newsletter that I send out maybe about 8 times a year,
mm-hmm.
and now it's got 2,000 subscribers. And
wow.
I've just started writing for Upgraded Living.
Which oh, I that's awesome.
I think it's an absolutely wonderful publication because it is so community-oriented.
Yes, yes.
And we've reached a point where our media are just disappearing.
Yeah.
So the News and Review is publishing, I guess, maybe
online.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Enterprise Record has cut its staff back by necessity, so it's very hard getting a reporter to come out. So Upgraded Living is definitely a source for information on art. And I've done about 7 or 8 articles for them so far.
Oh, cool.
And I do ones on the art festivals, but on individual artists too, such as Ritter Bickmer. And so I would not have had those opportunities in San Francisco, let's say.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You have a little bit of a small pond effect going here.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and something that like we continually talk about on the show is how Chico still tends to attract and breed really great talent. You know, it doesn't, and they have, there's a place to thrive here in Chico, which is what's so wonderful about it. Yeah.
It's got a wonderful art community, but it's slowly building, and this is not unusual for the United States. It's slowly building people who actually buy art.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think what you're doing is marvelous. What anyone is doing to promote the arts in Chico is wonderful, because there is a imbalance between the number of talented artists and the number of buyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's something that comes up a lot, too, when I talk to other artists. And, you know, you would think that the internet would then open up the marketplace, but that's like going, you know, to the whole world versus just to San Francisco.
So yes,
I've found that I actually have more success if I focus locally. But, yeah, we definitely need to boost the buyer base and encourage people to, you know, shop local, buy local art.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite local spot to hang out or shop at?
Well, I have a very soft spot in my heart for the Red Tavern, which does show my art.
Yep.
And to hang out at, well, yes, I love the outdoor seating at Tin Roof, and also they've got wonderful parking.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Yeah, that whole lot. This is great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Beatbox is also a place that you can go, and there's easy parking, and they have good displays of art as well.
Yeah, sorry, which place?
Beatniks.
Oh, Beatniks, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And they leave the work up for a while, which is really nice. It gives you a chance to, like, really get, you know, sit with it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Beatniks is a great spot for sure. So tell me a little bit about your background in art. Obviously, you went to school as an art historian, but you're also a painter. So how did you get started painting?
Well, I was a painter since I went to the Art Institute as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went there, it was like joining a cult, a religious cult. It really was. The artists who taught us were from the Ashcan group philosophy, where they believed that artists could really make a difference. Art was not just for decoration. It was to give you insight into life and to share the beauties that you had seen in just ordinary things, like a mud puddle, for example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I certainly liked that idea.
Yeah.
And so then when I finally got around to going to college, I was not at all geared to art history. In fact, I didn't want to take art history. I thought it would only be about, columns and things like that.
Right, right.
So I enrolled as a painting major.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not the best time to do that. It was really at the height of abstract expressionism,
mm-hmm.
where I'll have to say very little was taught.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really true. So then I wandered into an art history class, and they actually had subject matter.
Right, yeah.
And they were the best teachers that I have ever encountered. They were just so magnetic and so in love with their subject. So I switched over to an art history major.
That's cool. That's very cool. I had the great fortune to take an art history class at Cabrillo College, and I was totally expecting also to just be bored to tears, but
yeah,
the teacher makes all the difference. He loves his subject.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And now I have the wonderful opportunity of giving art history classes for OLLI, Osher Lifelong Learning.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I've been doing that for about, I guess, the last 6 or 7 years. I usually give 2 classes a year.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll ask you about that at the end, how people can get involved in that.
Okay.
Yeah, would love to promote that program. That is such a great program.
It is.
Yeah. So what led you to your current medium or style with your landscapes and everything?
Well, I think it's just a question of following what appeals to you. And the greatest appeal to me is color.
Yeah. That's very apparent in your work.
A subject has to capture me. So I'm not a completely abstract artist, although I have done things that are virtually abstract, like rain falling, and that's all you see.
Mm-hmm.
But a subject is important to me. It has to have some emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the local landscape. I love almost any landscape, not so much the desert, but the North State landscape is just amazing.
Yeah, it truly is.
And one nice thing about it is that you have so many free-ranging animals.
Yeah.
I often take the train Amtrak to Southern California to visit relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And you pass these depressing feedlots.
Yeah.
And they're just so inhumane and just so devoid of any visual interest.
Yeah.
But here you can see sheep and cows and horses just roaming freely.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is a special place to be up here.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I love the thing that your art program, the kind of philosophy of like sharing the beauty of everyday things. I think like that's something that really appeals to me. Is like, you know, why paint something that you can just look at or look at a photo of? It's because you're trying to capture something beyond what you just see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have seen some amazing things. It kind of makes me wonder about me. I'll tell you, well, one of the things that I saw, and I can't believe I really saw it, I was driving back from something, and it was very late at night. It was just about, well, it was almost dark, but there was a little bit of light.
Mm-hmm.
And I was passing this area of rice fields, and I had to stop because they were literally iridescent.
Oh, wow.
And I keep thinking about how could that be? How is that physically possible? But that sure is what it looked like.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a trick of the light hitting them a certain way. But anyways, I've been doing kind of iridescent rice fields ever since.
I love that. That is so cool. Man, now I want to go out in the rice paddies at night and see if I can spot some iridescent rice fields. That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you have any studio rituals or routines when you sit down to paint?
Well, I'm an early morning painter.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as it's light enough to have natural light, I'm painting. Mm-hmm. In the afternoon, I'm like a vegetable. So the afternoon is okay to go out and find subject matter or maybe photograph. But, you know, if I try to paint in the afternoon, just forget it. It's very uninspiring.
Interesting,
now, there's one exception. I would say 5 or 6 times in my painting life, I have woken up with an idea like at 3 a.m. and I've gotten up. And I've gotten wonderful results. One of my best paintings was because of that, but it doesn't happen enough.
Yeah. Definitely a strike while the iron's hot situation.
Right.
Yeah. So are you able to do that pretty much on a daily basis? Get up and paint?
Well, unless something comes up like a doctor's appointment. Yeah, I do.
Sure.
So I think regularity, at least for me, is very, very important. Not losing the momentum. And there'll be days, several days in a row, where I just don't feel inspired at all. And in fact, the painting is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's been actually for the last few days. Today was a good day. But the days before that were not good days.
Mm-hmm.
But I stayed there and put those little strokes on. And once in a while, then you'll get an insight. I'll get an insight, and then I'll work through the dead part, and there'll be something really interesting, which never happens if you don't sit down and do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Something that comes up a lot when I talk to other artists and musicians and any creative person is you've got to get through those doldrums. They're going to show up no matter what. And if you just stop, then you're not going to get to the good stuff on the other side.
Well, I think it's so common. I've heard this over and over from artists that they feel they've run through their subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that several times, but then you just kind of persist. Or sometimes I'll look back. I always photograph my work, and I photograph it also in stages of development.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I'll look through these from years and years ago, and sometimes I'll find a middle stage that, I could have taken that. That could have been a road I could explore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can help. But it's a very uncomfortable time if you reach that point, which we all do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I'd love to talk a little bit about your Art Talk newsletter. What led you to start that?
When I was working with Avenue 9 Gallery, I did the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a mailing list, and we would send out little tantalizing information about the artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so it grew from that. When, unfortunately, Maria Phillips died, the gallery closed.
Mm-hmm.
So, she and her husband owned the building, and there was no way to find a usable, inexpensive place to have a gallery. And so I took over that Avenue 9's mailing list.
Okay.
And they had around 900 at that time, and I built it up to about 2,000.
Yeah, wow. And I mean, how did you do that? Building a newsletter is a huge piece, I think, of any creative business.
Well, you have to have something what people want to read.
Mm-hmm.
And that's trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find is really interesting to people is how a painting is developed, how to demystify the painting.
Mm.
That got more comments than anything else that I've done. And I enjoy doing it, too. It makes me a little more self-conscious about the stages of development. So that helped a lot. And then when I have an exhibit, like I show sometimes, I do house shows, which...
Mm-hmm.
Twice a year I do house shows, and then I always have my mailing list sign up there and give people a little spiel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, and when I have my LA classes at the end of my instruction to them, sign up for my newsletter.
Yeah.
Which I had not given this much thought, but I also have students who are in New York, upstate New York, in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them tried to find the locations where I said I'd be showing. I forgot that they didn't understand this was only information for California.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's what happens when you have, a local-based thing.
Yeah, it can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And how has having, I've been a subscriber to the Art Talk newsletter for a couple of years now. And you also highlight a lot of other artists' work. You highlight events that are going on. And I'm curious how running this newsletter has kind of affected or changed your relationship with the art community here in town.
Well, it's definitely made me more aware of what's happening and to seek things out.
Mm-hmm.
When I was with Avenue 9 Gallery, I was always meeting artists then too. Mm-hmm. So it's not that it was a sudden sort of thing. And mm-hmm. then when I was doing interviews for NSPR on Weekend Showcase, then I would think of who would be interesting to talk to. So it's a gradual process. One thing leads to another.
Yeah, for sure. So it sounds like it was kind of just a natural progression of what you had already been
right.
doing. Yeah, that makes sense. What is the best part about being an artist in Chico?
Knowing who your buyer is
mm-hmm.
and doing a local scene that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't realized how important that was to me. You know,
yeah.
if you're selling in San Francisco, probably you don't know your buyer.
Yeah.
And you're doing scenes that may not resonate with them. So the only drawback in Chico is that you can't make a lot of money out of it.
Right.
But fortunately, I've got retirement, so I'm not dependent upon what I sell as an artist.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you were a teacher before. It does seem like there are a lot of artists in town who have multiple gigs going in order
right.
to sustain it. Yeah,
absolutely, they do, and it's necessary.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to touch back on the Ollie program. Can you talk
okay.
more about that? Yeah.
Well, I absolutely love the people at Ollie. They are so dedicated to what they're doing, and they're so willing to be helpful with technology, which for me is a very big help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think that I'm so technologically savvy because I put out Art Talk and I do all the formatting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is something that took three expert technicians months to help me with so I could finally do this.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm not versatile. It's all I can do.
Yeah.
So they give me an assistant because they realize that it's not going to happen if I don't have an assistant.
Uh-huh.
And the assistants have been absolutely wonderful.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. And I have a goal that I'm gradually chipping away at. You know, when you give a Zoom class, and I started giving Zoom because of COVID,
mm-hmm.
but I've continued it because I'm up in years and it's hard for me to get around and it's very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, we were just talking about just the Ollie program in general, and it sounds like they're super accommodating and that it's really accessible, which is great. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Oh, my goal is to get discussion going in an Ollie class that's given by Zoom. And that is hard to do.
Yes, it is.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But gradually it's building up, and I have a couple of friends who come and take the class and they're very chatty.
Perfect.
So gradually people are starting to chime in.
Mm-hmm.
And I always ask some question for them. I send them a prep in advance, so there's always an email in advance for something to read, something to think about, something to compare, and something to write.
Mm-hmm.
So they have some advanced preparation. And my one coming up in the fall is on four women artists who challenged the mores of their times.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love that subject. And the Ollie program is for adult education, right?
It is, but they have opened it up to younger people now.
Okay.
And I think it's really great that they've done it because now there's more of a mixed population.
Right. That's very cool.
And they also have made it possible for you to get a variety of numbers of classes that you pay for. So you can now enroll and just pay for one class, or you can pay an overall fee and get any class for the entire year. And they keep changing it, or I would quote what the prices are. But
right.
People can just call the OLLI office, CSUC OLLI, and find out. And they also give classes in person, including studio classes. So you can take a class in painting, many kind of art classes.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Love that. So, I mean, so you've got your women artists class coming up in the fall. Do you have anything else coming up that you're excited about?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking.
Uh-huh.
I am, for the first time, curating an exhibit.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and that's going to be for MoCA, and it opens, boy, I'll probably give you the wrong date. It opens July 10th and runs through the 24th of August, and it's going to be a homage to Bidwell Mansion.
Oh, great. Yeah, I loved your newsletter after it burned down.
Well, that was the inspiration for doing this. And I went over to pitch the idea to Pat Macias with the idea that this would be wonderful for you guys to do this.
Yes, yeah.
I was not offering my service to do this. But then they asked, well, you're so excited, you do it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So I had that core group of artists who I had pictured in my art talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept racking my brain, or I particularly looked at Facebook for people who were posting images of Bidwell Mansion. And I would say I must have around over 15 artists, maybe up to 20 artists now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. And so what's it been like to curate a show?
What it's been like?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that I've been juggling so many other things.
Yes.
But now I've kind of got a handle on that. I'm really going to launch into it in about a week and a half. I'm going to really launch into contacting the artists, and I'd like them to give a little statement, something small about Bidwell Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking a little different look at such a show. I'm emphasizing how Bidwell Mansion has been such an educational resource for art classes.
Yeah.
Or for urban sketchers who go out and sit on the lawn. There's very few situations where you can take a really interesting building and get far enough away from it to get a good vantage point.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. And, I mean, it was beautiful, obviously. It had so much art done.
It really gives your ability to see it from any angle.
Mm-hmm.
And just think for a moment, how often have you encountered that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to go to, like, a Capitol building. Well, I love everything that you've shared. Thank you so much for being on this show. This has been great.
Oh, well, it was fun, and I'm glad you're doing the show. The more promotion for art locally, the better.
Absolutely. That's why I'm doing it.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and we will see you around town.
Okie doke. Bye.
Bye.
You can find Dolores online at DoloresMitchellArt.com, DoloresMitchellArt.com. And from there, you can see her beautiful work and sign up for her Art Talk newsletter. Thanks for listening.
The Chico Creates podcast is presented by and recorded at Maker Radio in Chico, California. Hosted and produced by Kira Barsotti. Production engineering and editing by Solomon Perillo. Theme song is Take Your Time by Lorna Such. We now have official merchandise. hats, totes, mugs, shirts for the whole family, and more at Chico.